www.thebusinessbunker.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 13th of December, with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds. Joe?
I love that film.
What one?
Oh, doesn't that song always remind you of that film? You can't remember what song you played.
Yeah, no, I can remember. It was Mariah Carey, but what film?
He's going to remember.
Was she in a film?
Top of your tongue. Stick your tongue out. What's
Bill
it?
Bill Nye, Hugh Grant.
That's it.
The lady
that's
from EastEnders.
That's it.
Can't remember the name.
And, the porn.
Love Actually.
Bit in it. Yes, Love Actually. Yeah.
Oh,
I always remind you of that film.
I loved that film.
I've never seen it.
Brilliant. Have you never seen it?
Oh,
it's like the best film.
Is it good?
Best film.
It'll be on Christmas.
I'm still pining over not having Elf on at Christmas.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Didn't it?
Yeah, it's not allowed. What's that? There's another film that somebody recommended that I watched that everybody went,
"Oh, Wonderful Life."
No, not that. I've seen that a million times.
Okay,
no, it's one
the Grinch. At Christmas
with
time.
Vince Vaughn. Something about Santa's brother.
Don't know.
Santa's little helper.
No. Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
No, I can't think.
Anyway,
can I recommend Black Christmas?
Really?
Mm.
Oh, that sounds scary.
It is.
Oh no.
What is it?
It's a horror.
Film.
Oh, yeah, bring me the sound of music.
Cool. Anyway. Enough already. We've still got millions of tweets, millions of emails coming in. We are kind of pushed for time. We're really overshooting today, so sorry about that. But I've got some interesting guests I want to talk to, so I'd much rather talk to them. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto this show the lovely Audrey Chapman. Audrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Audrey is from the Sales Resolution.
I am.
She's going to tell us all about her. And she's recently, back in October, published a book, which I've read and absolutely loved. So why don't you give us a bit of background to you, first of all? And I did say to you that I think people will notice that you are, in fact, South African. And we are incredibly pleased that Jules isn't with us. Otherwise, we'd have had to have done the whole show with her incredibly crummy South African accent. So, welcome to the show, Audrey.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you and about your business.
Okay, well, my business is called The Sales Resolution, and it was founded last year, actually, last springtime.
Okay.
Early summer. Having been in corporate UK for a few decades.
I don't believe
As you were saying yourself.
I don't believe it.
I literally worked in corporate UK for a good sort of 10, 20 years at quite a senior level, running Salesforce. And basically, I'm a salesperson and have been in leadership roles in PLCs and eventually a sales director of a very large national fitted bedroom company. Fitted bedroom company.
Fitted bedroom. Yeah. Okay.
So I've got quite a diverse background, if you like, a sales, retail, home improvements, utilities, and what have you.
Okay.
And I left about 5 years ago. I did a number of freelance projects, a bit of entrepreneurial stuff, and last year decided to formalize it all and started a business called The Sales Resolution. So we are a boutique agency that help individuals or organization, large and small, to boost their sales performance.
Okay.
And this can take a whole sort of, you know, a variety of forms, whether it's developing training courses, whether it's actually helping with coaching or whatever, anything that helps that particular organization or individual boost their sales function.
It's interesting. I, as someone that owns a number of businesses, but who was very definitely not from a sales background, I found this interesting. When I first went into business, sales was the thing I struggled with.
Yeah.
I think a lot of businesses, we can do a bit of marketing because that's okay, yeah. But sales, actually talking to people and selling them something, is an incredibly difficult thing. And for Brits especially, we have a really weird view of selling.
Absolutely.
Years ago, I lived and worked in the US. And in the US, you can do a master's degree in sales at a university. If you mention the word sales in a university in this country, you'd be expelled immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just have this really weird view of sales in this country. And therefore, a lot of people do it really badly.
Mm.
Now, I've got something contentious I want to say to you.
Go for
and
it.
You're
I'll
a
make
sales
a change then?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, how come I'm so surprised?
Yeah. I'm shocked.
We don't want you to feel left out.
Yeah. You.
I mean, this is just my view, and you might go, no, you're totally wrong about it, Paul, and you're an expert. So, you know, that's really why I'm kind of telling you, asking you. For me, I think things like telesales, you know, cold calling people on the phone, was one of the things that gave sales its bad name years ago. And for me, I don't think telesales really works anymore. I don't think it's the best thing in the world to do. Now, you can put me right on that. But I just think we're past that now, and sales is much more about relationship building. Would I be even remotely right in any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's context dependent.
Yeah.
So before we just sort of shut down all of the call centres in the United Kingdom, I'll just put a bit of a health warning. I think it's context dependent. But I think you're right. I think the perception of what it is to be a salesperson, and very much I think you've hit the nail on the head in terms of, in the UK, what it means or what people perceive it to be when you say I'm a salesperson is like, oh my, you know, poor you, shame, you couldn't get a proper job.
Couldn't get a proper job, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's not something that you sort of rush home as a, you know, first out of university with a, guess what, mum and dad, I became a salesperson.
Do you know, funnily enough, though, my youngest son, who graduated in the summer, came home and said, do you know what, I've decided to become a salesperson.
Yay.
Yeah, and he's got a job, he's working as a foreign exchange trader and salesman.
Yeah, fantastic.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah. Obviously, no, but it
obviously takes after his mother.
I think the thing is, it's about the perception. It's actually why I wrote the book, because there's so many businesses that fail, as you say, because they've got a little bit of the marketing thing. They've got a little bit of they're subject matter experts. So whether it be that you are a acupuncturist or a chiropractor or a an IT expert or whatever your particular subject is that you have got your level of expertise, it doesn't necessarily mean to say that you can sell it.
Sure.
And in fact, it becomes even more of a barrier for many people in that situation because they try to download all of their knowledge and the poor person sitting on the other end of it really doesn't get it and there's no service involved, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of sale.
And of course, In talking with Phil and talking about a business like pet care services, even that is deeply affected by new technology. New technology is absolutely affecting everything. So from your point of view in the sales process, how has that changed with the onset of digital technology, social media, that kind of thing?
It's changed hugely. And I think that those that are being left behind who have this sort of, well, no, hang on a minute, we've always done it like this around here. We're not going to embrace social media and the various avenues of technology that are available to us now really do miss a trick, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think there's, over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, there's been the shift of, we used to do it a certain way and get a result. We used to run our sales functions in a certain way and get a result. We know we need to change, but we don't really know how to change, so we'll just scream louder at our people and just say, you know, sell more, sell more. And then that entrenches the whole behavior around, or the perception, if you like, of what is a salesperson and what is not a salesperson and what does good look like. And it's really why I wrote the book, Paul, because If the reason that your business ends up not being successful because you can't get your message out there and you can't sell yourself in a way that is compelling and that people actually want to buy, they're great businesses that actually just, you know, get flushed down the drain because, you know, they haven't got that one key element. And there's a lot of fear around it, which is absolutely not necessary, in my experience.
You're absolutely right. And it's really interesting and fascinating. My core business, Jobs in Kent, I launched in 1999. And I launched it at a time when virtually no one had the internet. Yeah. Not at home, anyway. You know, it was only techies that used the internet. So when I started with my business, people would just look at you and go, really?
Yeah.
No. And I'd end up doing exactly what you counseled me not to. I'd sit on them and talk to them for an hour and explain why the internet was important. And they'd still go away.
After they'd woken up.
Yeah, exactly. And It's interesting because you have two issues there. You have a type of selling where you have to explain the rationale behind not only what your product is, but how you deliver it, mm-hmm. because people just don't understand it and they've got nothing to gear it against, which was kind of hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for someone that can't sell.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a couple of things there. You might just have got it wrong and just have a product that nobody wants. Yeah. Or you might have a product that everybody's going to want, but you're going to make them want to understand it. Yeah. And it's a fine line about where you give up.
But isn't that some of the issue, that people tend to want to sell or explain the sale because they're explaining the nuts and bolts or the what they do bit, as opposed to the benefit to the customer, as opposed to the transformation?
I think it is.
I think there's quite a lot in there, what you've just said. I mean, firstly, I think there's the element of the marketing and sort of putting it out there as a compelling pitch.
Yeah.
And then there's the actual selling of it, you know, the bit where it's one-to-one or using some level of technology to be able to engage. And I think the crux of the matter is that people that have not had the education of how to allow somebody to buy end up flogging stuff. Mm-hmm. And they call it sales.
Mm-hmm.
In my world and in my view, and certainly what we cover in the book, it's not about flogging stuff. In fact, it's exactly the reverse of that. Because if I sat with you now for 1 hour and just told you everything that I do and how I do it, that might be of absolute zero interest to you. But if I find out what you really want and what you need and what's important to you, if I've got that level of service or that product, then I can present it to you. Mm. And it's apart from the fact that it's far more appropriate as a conversation, because I'm actually finding out what you need, but actually you're spot on.
Mm.
You know, you hit the nail on the head immediately.
Absolutely. It kind of reminds me of someone years ago. I mentioned to someone about being a numpty at sales, and they said, very similar to what Joe's like to say, is that quite often what you're doing is selling features and not benefits.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a feature and a benefit. And they gave me an example which really stuck with me, of a car. And they said one feature of a car is anti-lock brakes. Okay, that's a feature. The benefit could be different to different people. So if you're talking to a 20-year-old bloke, you could drive the car faster. If you're talking to a 50-year-old lady with a family, you can drive the car safer with the same feature. And that kind of struck a chord with me, that said, okay, I see where that comes in now.
Yeah.
You have one feature, but it has different benefits to different potential customers.
And what is that benefit that's going to light up that particular person, as opposed to reeling off, the list of 20 that you can just sort of see people's eyes glazing over.
Mm-hmm. And it's that, going back to what Paul was saying about the relationships, it's that what you've just said about asking questions, it is about a relationship, and it's about, as you say, getting to know what people want and then being able to sort of overlay what you can offer to match them, but not
definitely
everything else that is not relevant
absolutely
to them.
Definitely. I also believe that in the last few years, with social media taking such a prime part of our lives, that thank goodness there's no longer the Paul at work and the Audrey at home. They're the same person. You've got the sort of 360 view, which I think is hugely helpful.
Right.
I think anybody that has been successful in sales has probably always adopted that prior to this level of social media exposure. Mm. But now having that, if you're not completely open, if you're not prepared to have that 360 and actually have work at the relationships, you're going to really be on a hiding to nothing and make it extremely hard work and painful.
I've had somebody tweet in a question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
This could be good. This is Chris, Chris Hyde. And I happen to know, he doesn't say it in a question, but I happen to know that he's a project manager and he sells project management services. I think that's worth a bit of background. He says, Audrey, when do you know if it's the right time to close the deal? Are there key signs that a prospect is about to convert?
It's a nose twitch, isn't it?
Yeah. When they move to the side, when they move to the left. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When the check clears, normally for me.
Yeah. Good point. So his question is, what is the signal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that is a loaded question because, you know, we could do like a 10-week seminar just on that, you know, all of the variant sort of nuances with it. Yeah. I think that the client will tell you. If you have ensured that you've done your research properly, if you have done your needs analysis properly and in depth, they will ask you how they can buy. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you just sort of sit back and wait for it to happen. Yeah. There are questioning ways of holding a conversation that are going to be of greater value than not. Suffice to say, if you have got a good connection with somebody and you've made it your business to do so and you really do care, because this is not a fake thing. This is not, you know, we'll put the jacket on and go in and close the sale. I think so much has been, so many people are fearful of sales because of the closing. Mm-hmm. If you've opened your customer properly so that you really know what they want to need, they will close themselves.
Oh. I love that phrase. Sorry, I was just going to say, I love that phrase, which is, this is where I get it wrong as usual, that nobody wants to be sold to, but we all want to buy stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, that actually people are open to being closed, but only in the right way. And
I think that's a crucial point. I think that's an absolutely crucial point in a lot of people's view of what sales is. They view sales as being some kind of forcing you to buy something that you don't really want.
Have it.
And if you only ask enough people, some sucker somewhere is going to buy it off you eventually.
Mm. But the thing is, Paul, that, you know, there is a school that adopts that kind of approach.
Mm. Absolutely.
So this is not sort of just being magicked up by... you know, absolutely. There is a level of truth in that there are schools of thought that say if you keep on, you know, bashing it on, close, that you will eventually get a sale, and you will. That's not where we come from at the Sales Resolution. It's certainly not what Love Selling is all about. We are about opening
absolutely.
So that it's ecological.
Mm. It's interesting as well. Many, 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 many years ago when you were still... a baby.
40.
Yeah, when you were still a baby. I used to do customer service training courses. And one of the things that we would always try to impress on people is the value of a customer, the lifetime value of a customer.
Yeah.
The repeat purchases. And some of that school of you know, knock it down, run it over, make it have it, doesn't have lifetime value. Because someone will buy from you and then run away as quickly as they possibly can.
That was interesting. I was listening to looking at a discussion on Facebook the other day about these events that people go to where there's speakers and they you know sell a product at the end of it and you always get people who are saying, oh, you know, God, it's awful and they shouldn't do it, and then there's a big debate about should they do it if you've paid to be there, or should you do it if you've not, if it's been free, should they be entitled to sell it to you and everything else. And then sort of a lone voice popped up and said, you know, if somebody's gone to something, got real value out of it, and not being offered an opportunity to take it to the next level, then in some ways you're letting that person down, because actually you've got something more to offer them, and if you don't tell them about it, they don't know about it, then they stop with wherever they've got to.
They want to be able to go deeper into the subject matter.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And if you do that right, those opportunities are absolutely doing what that person needs and you know, valued, whereas
absolutely.
So many people do it the other way, where it's just like, you know, let's take advantage of all these people here and push a load of stuff at them, as Paul was just saying.
You said something to me very interesting, because you said, you know, are we entitled to do that because they're there? Mm. And therein lies the issue.
Yes,
we're not entitled to do anything. There is no entitlement around this. It's about truly finding out what somebody needs and wants, what's really, really important to them, if you genuinely care.
Yes.
And like I said, you can't fake this one. If you do, it comes over really schmaltzy and, you know, awful.
Yeah.
But if you genuinely do care and you adopt that approach, even if you make mistakes along the way, you will be forgiven. Mm. People will allow some grace to enter because you have their best interests at heart. And if you don't have something in your product portfolio and you are not able to help or serve that particular client or that customer, so be it.
Mm.
And that is quite a different view.
Mm.
In my experience, I've been fortunate enough to endure a great deal of success by having that approach mm-hmm. and running teams that have that approach. Because guess what happens? The person who didn't buy today will go, do you know what? They didn't have what I wanted and needed specifically. So rather than just try to make something fit, sure. they told me so. But guess what they'll do? They'll recommend you to 10, 15 mm-hmm. others, and absolutely. Your business will grow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is really at the heart of it. It's about relationships mm-hmm. and having that as an openness.
And I had that sort of situation when I used to do social media stuff. Somebody wanted to come to me for some help and wanted to talk about their branding. And I said, well, that's not really my thing. And I was at a networking event. I said, that lady over there can help you. Let me introduce you.
Yeah.
And then she came back to me and had a real go at me for introducing me to a competitor because this woman also did social media. And I was like, yeah, but I can't help you with the branding. That's not what I want to do or what I'm, you know, is yeah. my real thing. But she can. She's like, yes, but, you know, I want to buy my social media training from you. And I was like, well, you can. That's fine. And it was really funny that by pushing her along to someone else, she got really incensed that I was like doing myself a disservice by getting her to go and buy from someone else. And actually it worked the other way and yeah. that she came back to me. But that's that thing about genuinely giving people what they want, even if it's not you.
Yes,
you
absolutely. Know, to build and that you relationship. Have to be brave, mm-hmm. you know, because I think there are many sales forces still out there, regrettably now, that are screamed at, mm-hmm. that, you know, the style of management is to scream and bark. Mm-hmm. There is actually another way. I mean, that's a whole another story, isn't it? You
absolutely.
Know, about the actual management mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. But the individuals within it, you know, you had somebody say, you know, for goodness sake, I want to buy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, and I'm days. Not normally that good yeah. at the selling bit, so that worked quite well.
I think you're just fine.
You're pretty good at this, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
I've had a tweet there that says she's pretty good at this, isn't it? This is Chris that says, thank you so much for answering my question. I love the answer.
Oh,
so,
good.
So, yeah, you got another customer there. Brilliant.
Good stuff.
It's a subject we could talk about for a long, long time. Sadly, we're running out of time again. So I just want to dwell for a little while, if we may, on the yeah. book itself. What inspired you to write the book? Have you written a book before? How did you find writing a book? Loads of questions. How okay. did you find writing a book and... what's it about?
I'm sure there's a section
about.
There on your questioning which says don't ask multiple questions.
There is. And,
I'm not
and,
selling or anything.
Well, and before we go there, I know we don't have much time, and of course I will be more than happy to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, did you? Smooth.
Thank
so
you.
Smooth. Yeah, absolutely.
So let me take all of the questions you've just asked me. Have I written a book before? No, I've not. I had never intended being an author at all. I do, however, really want to get the message out that the space of opening rather than closing is, for me, where it's all about. And I've worked with so many people over the years that are absolutely terrified of selling. And once they have unpicked it and understood that actually there's nothing to be afraid of, including the perception that they had, I had to write a book.
Right.
So that's what I did. And I only made the decision about a year ago and then sort of really just got to it. Found a great publisher, and the book was launched on the 27th of October. And we have been very, very fortunate. We got a number one bestseller on Amazon, within the first month.
In the UK, and aren't you quite high up in the US as well, are you not? Did I see that somewhere?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
I don't know.
If you look on Amazon US as well, I think it's quite high up in the list too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And tell us what it's called, because I love the title. I love the strapline or whatever the technical subtitle or whatever the other bit's called. What's the technical term for that bit in red?
Okay. I don't know. It's just called... The book is called Love Selling, How to Sell Without Selling Out.
Right.
And originally, there were two books in my head, and the publisher had sort of sat me down and said, look, Audrey, you know, you haven't even written one yet. Let's just, you know, before you write a whole encyclopedia, let's just start. And How to Sell is obviously, you know, this is very much a how-to book. And the bit about without selling out is everything that we've already discussed. There really is another way, and this is one of the ways that I think would really help. The feedback that we've had is that it's easy to read and the steps and the processes are easily understandable because mm-hmm. nobody wants to spend, you know, hours and hours and hours reading a book. You want to be able to get on and actually do it. So that's my book.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Audrey, we could talk about this forever.
We will.
You will be coming. You will be coming back because
you've
ordained it. So we're gonna have you back early in the new year and continue this conversation. For the moment, if people want to find out more about you and the book and everything you do, how can they do that? Is it your website?
Yes, there's a couple of ways. Firstly, they could go to our sales resolution website, which is www.thesalesresolution.com. That's resolution.co. Okay, now there's a bit of a story, and I won't be long. .co was, I thought I was being really cool and going for these, like, you know, contemporary website address. No, it's not .com or .co.uk, it's .co.
More trouble than it's worth, isn't it?
I have a .co as well, and it's an absolute nightmare.
Well, there's still people, when you give your email address over or a URL, they go, all lowercase? Yeah, and you think, oh, there's no hope, is there?
It, really? Just, you know, I give up. But yes, or on Twitter, and our handle is @love_selling1. So please do follow us. We've got a lot coming up next year. We are taking the book and we're creating online courses.
Fantastic.
So we look forward to coming back and talking to you about it then.
You will be more than welcome. No, you will be absolutely more than welcome. It's a conversation that we are keen to carry on.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry we've kind of run out of time today.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
But it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Audrey. The lovely Audrey Chapman, Resolution Selling. Thank you.
The sales resolution. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool.
Cheers. Bye.
Lovely.
We've got dozens of tweets, dozens of emails, and loads of things to do. I'm going to quickly flash through some of the tweets so that we get as many done as we can. FMRC have tweeted, hi, Paul, Business Bunker. Can we have a shout out, please? We're asking businesses what their biggest challenge is for managing fraud risks. And there's a hashtag that they want you to use, which is FMRC fraud. Hashtag FMRC fraud. What is your biggest fraud risk? If you want to tweet FMRC_inquiries, their Twitter handle, and use that hashtag, please feel free to do that. Anthony Jones, AJ Photo Info on the Twitter, who's an excellent photographer from over there on the Isle of Sheppey. Do give Anthony a follow. Or the Heating Hub are still posting pictures of cats.
Yes, cool. they've had both of mine.
They've still got a cat competition going. And bunnies. You converted it into bunnies as well.
They that wanted was Denise, cat pictures. To be fair, yeah. But my rabbit did join
so
in.
So do
well.
Keep looking at that. They've got a competition running on cat photos.
Can we mention this Lord Dean Learning tweet? Because it's right up my street. Any chance for a shout out for my event running in January? Hashtag resilience, hashtag wellbeing. So it's on the 20th of January, and it's a morning or an afternoon course, obviously about resilience and wellbeing. Improve your RAW, it says, R-A-W. And you can go to Lorden Learning, e-learning, lordenelearning.co.uk/events.
Cool. The Cutting Globe, Vanillaware Business Bunker, innovative garden products, cuttingglobe.com. Thank you for the shout out. Gardening UK distributors, they say, of green-based products. The Cutting Globe. Do check them out.
Fiona, I love your dog, by the way.
I beg your pardon?
Fiona Stevens. She's done a picture of her little girl.
Oh, I see. Doggy. I wonder what you meant when you said she was a lovely dog.
She said she loved the paws claws man, she said. That's what you're called now, Paul.
She's a very nice
paws,
lady.
Claws man.
Yes.
The tornado's been on down the pub, boys.
Oh, really?
We got a picture of their dog as well.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, before you start going on about animals again and being horrible, Paul, shall I read this email? Because I think this is a good one.
Go on.
It says, once again this year, customers travelling through Ebbsfleet International Station in the run-up to Christmas are being given the opportunity to remember a loved one by hanging an Eleanor star on the station's stunning Christmas tree. Ebbsfleet offered travellers a chance to do this last year, and in addition to growing awareness for the hospice charity Eleanor, helped to raise £730.24 to support families facing terminal illness. That's children, isn't it, Eleanor?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've had a tweet from Mark at Red Sprout, and their Sprout Red is their Twitter handle. And they are digital recruitment specialists. And they say, can Red Sprout have a shout-out, please? As we are now the show sponsor for the UK brand show.
They are, for Penny and Marcus. Yeah,
yeah. So it's Penny and Marcus. That's the UK brand show, which is on this very station, Channel Radio, on a Wednesday afternoon,
right after Bird, at 2 o'clock. Right.
Yes. So you've got a whole afternoon of really cracking stuff on a Wednesday. That's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because you've got lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, the bird on a bike, with the conversation at 1 o'clock. And then, and who?
And Amanda Flanders.
We've got Amanda Flanders on tomorrow.
You've got the Flanders woman, have you? Have you?
She told me off for saying my colloquial, you can't say Flanders, Bert.
Yeah, but you're from Devon. You're from Devon. You have to say Flanders like that in Devon, don't you? That's where I got it from, yeah? Amanda Flanders is the guest on the conversation, yeah? And then the UK brand show, sponsored by Red Sprout, is on at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday.
They're just coming into their own now, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Scraps,
yeah,
scraps,
it's really up and running.
I didn't mean the show. I meant
we've
scraps.
Also had a tweet from the lovely Joanna at Petty Canapes.
Petty Canapes, yeah.
Did you get that? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Did you see what I did there?
That was canapes. Smooth.
She's the one the little Dodsy says we have to use for our neighbours get together next summer. After you drop
canape,
them that
day. Her canapes are to die for. They really are.
She's famous in our house.
You know, I dropped them in when she gave me some here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Little Dodsy was here, and she's remembered it ever since.
So
she told me when we need canapes for next year for this party, we've got to buy them from them.
All right.
Because of you dropping them.
See, Fiona it was deliberate.
Says to give
I engineered
you a
that. That was top
yeah.
selling, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fiona
get
says
your
to give
canapes
you a shove,
here. I'll drop them just so that you remember them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm. I've got an email here from ZC Social Media. Ooh. They've got a couple of workshops happening early in the new year. They've got a Using Facebook for Business workshop, which is taking place on Thursday the 26th of January, and that's at the Medway Innovation Centre, and that's from 9:30 until 12:30. Come along for a hands-on workshop and go away with a better understanding of how to use Facebook for your business. And then they've also got a Twitter for Business workshop on the 17th of February. That's also at the Medway Innovation Centre, also 9:30 to 12:30. Join us for a step-by-step guide to get your Twitter set up, ready to leave with your marketing message becoming viral online. You can find out about those workshops and many more, and you can book your place by going to their website, which is zcsocialmedia.com. Joe.
So Ken and Victor Chamber have a Christmas luncheon, networking luncheon on Thursday at Chilston Park Hotel in Lenham, 12 till 2:30. And if you go to kentandvictorchamber.co.uk, you can book there.
Fantastic. Gillingham Football Club have been in touch.
Boo.
Was that some booing from over there?
No,
from a certain well-known Charlton supporter.
No, Gillingham, lovely team. Right.
Yeah, Gillingham Football Club have been in touch to say on Sunday the 11th of December for only £60, which includes all-inclusive drinks, food and entertainment, there's a Winter Wonderland-themed Christmas party at Priestfield. And you receive a 20% discount on your booking if you mention the Business Bunker Show. And they say it's open to everybody except to Phil Houston. And if you want to book it, you can call Medway 01634 350213. That's Medway 01634 350213.
Paul Scully is a very nice man.
So we've had something from the Kenwood Trust that will be from the lovely Penny Williams, I would imagine. They enjoyed a bustling launch event recently when it officially launched its new cafe, Sage and Thyme, at Kenwood House in Yalding. The cafe will be open Monday to Friday from 10 to 4, offering a tasty range of refreshments. It's staffed by residents and local volunteers, and it's this new venture is another example of the expansion of their social enterprises. So Ken-based design, refurbishment and fit-out contractor Wrap Interiors helped with the renovation work, and marketing manager Emily Lamb said it was a pleasure being chosen to work with Kenwood Trust and an honour to design the vision for such a beautiful historic building to create a social area for Kenwood Trust who are passionate about changing lives. So that's Sage and Thyme, the coffee shop at Kenwood Trust. If you go to kenwoodtrust.org.uk, you can find out more.
Fantastic.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you a news update from the Federation of Small Business. Small Business Saturday, which was held on the 3rd of December, has been declared a rip-roaring success. The UK's fourth annual Small Business Saturday was a huge success, with £717 million spent with small firms and local independent shops, which is a 15% increase in sales on last year. The FSB is proud supporter of the grassroots campaign, which this year saw more engagement than ever before. The FSB backs the campaign at branch, region, national and UK level as a way to say a simple thank you to small and independent business owners in every corner of the country. So £717 million spent with small businesses on the 3rd of December. It's
well,
pretty
it's
good going.
Just me and Dave down the diner.
Yeah.
So tell DWP how they can help with health and disability at work. DWP launched a green paper on work, health and disability on Monday. As part of the consultation process, they want to hear from employers about best practice, the challenges long-term illness and disability can bring, and what small businesses want from government. To find out more about the consultation and to take part, either says go to this link, can't do that, or if you go to gov.uk/government/consultations, and then it's work, health and disability improving lives. I guess if you do a search, it will work, and it will also be on our show page, won't it?
It will indeed, yeah. There's fresh evidence on the quarterly tax reporting burden on small firms. A PwC report commissioned by the FSB suggests government plans for making tax digital That's MTD, Making Tax Digital, should be delayed, okay? With small businesses exempted from the proposals. The report shows that MTD is likely to increase the admin burden and cost for small firms. FSB estimated last month that the policy will cost the average micro company an extra £2,770 a year on top of their existing tax administration burden just to operate. Bonfire of red tape, anyone?
Yeah.
It ain't ever going to happen, is it? They just invent more and more and more. If you look at 2016, just as one year, the, you know, living wage, auto-enrolment, digital tax reporting, you know, we might as well give up work and just all work for the government. It would be far easier, wouldn't it?
Some tax accountants will be dancing in the street on that news, won't they?
Exactly, yeah. Well, the only thing, I need to tell you this very quickly. In the autumn statement, they basically, they haven't actually scrapped it, but they made it not worthwhile, is a thing called salary sacrifice. Yeah. And I was at a seminar about it once, and somebody in the audience, there was a consultant talking about salary sacrifice, and somebody in the audience said, yeah, I bet HMRC don't like that. And the guy that was doing it said, you know what? Do you know what the biggest organisation in the UK is that uses salary sacrifice? And we went, no, they went HMRC. So at least we got our own back with that somewhere down the line. Yeah.
Flood insurance relief for small firms. Thousands of small businesses are set to benefit from a new flood insurance package announced by the British Insurance Brokers Association. The FSB has campaigned hard for a fairer deal for small businesses at risk of flooding. The new flood insurance scheme should help a small but significant number of small businesses who struggle to access affordable flood insurance. FSB's comments were covered on BBC Breakfast and in media across the regions, and FSB members can contact FSB Insurance for further information.
As an attempt to block the business rates appeals process, along with seven other industry groups, the FSB has condemned Treasury plans to block businesses from appealing against business rates up to a certain level. Under the reasonable professional judgment provision, ratepayers may not be able to argue against the rates bill if its margin of error was inside 15%. It's estimated the move would cost small firms in England more than £700 million in overpayments in the next 5 years. Wow. It's frightening.
Large firms to publish payment times. The government has announced new payment reporting rules for large firms as part of its pledge to tackle late payment to small businesses. Mm. This means that from April 2017, large businesses will have to publish details twice a year on the average time taken to pay supplier invoices. The FSB cited their latest research and the need to see executive board level engagement and scrutiny of payment practices to deliver lasting cultural change. Interesting.
Cool. Self-employment rises again. The FSB has hailed another rise in the levels of self-employment. Government employment figures released this week showed the number of self-employed people has increased by a further 213,000 since the same time last year. There's now total 15.1% of all people in work for themselves. The figures also show there are 23.24 million people working full-time, an increase of 350,000 from this time last year. There are 8.56 million people working part-time, an increase of 110,000. And this correlates with the latest FSB Small Business Index, which showed small businesses have started to take on new staff with a net balance of 7% increase in their headcount. Government must support small firms. More people in work is testament to the hard work of small businesses, said FSB Executive Chairman Mike Cherry. And I happen to know, because I'm heavily involved in this, we are on course to create another 500,000 new jobs in the course of the next 18 months. Who's going to do them all? We don't know, because we have massive skill shortages, but we are creating jobs like it's going out of fashion. And it just shows you there's never a solution to anything. You know, years ago we had no jobs and loads of people, and now we've got loads of jobs and no people. Yeah, you can't win, really, can you? Mm-hmm. Have you got any more FSB news?
Yeah, I've got UK SME manufacturers expecting export growth. On the back of recent news that Germany's small businesses are among the most confident small businesses despite the uncertainty engendered by Brexit, the latest CBI quarterly SME trends survey has shown that UK SME manufacturers aren't far behind. Why are you laughing? Have you read this?
No, I was being rude.
Thought he'd already read
it. Not about you.
The survey of 423 firms reported that total new orders edged up slightly in the 3 months to October, while output rose modestly. In addition, 25% of small and medium-sized enterprise manufacturers said they were more optimistic, while 21% said they were less optimistic, giving a balance of plus 4%. I thought it was going to be higher than that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, 30% said their volume of output was up, and 21% said it was down, giving a rounded balance of plus 10%. And finally, 30% said their total new orders were up, while 26% said they were down, giving a balance of plus 4%. Firms expect a strengthening in orders growth next quarter, up 13%.
Cool. In his autumn statement, the Chancellor, Philip Hammond, announced a new National Productivity Investment Fund, which will provide £23 billion of investment in housing, transport, digital communications and science and innovation by 2022. It's not in his email, but I noticed that at long last, Ofcom had finally decided to split up BT and Openreach. It didn't take them long, did it? It's about time.
It's a cartel.
Yeah, absolutely. From April 2017, there's a new national living wage, which will be £7.50 an hour, which everybody has to comply with. The amount of people that email me and say, no, I don't want to pay the living wage. No, it's a bit too much. No, you have to pay that. And as of April 2017, the National Insurance Secondary Employer Threshold and the National Insurance Primary Employer Threshold will be aligned. Woohoo.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
So, record number of SMEs. The number of small businesses in the UK has grown to 5.5 million. The business population estimates show that at the start of 2016, the UK had 1 million more small businesses, 4,000 more medium-sized businesses, and 900 more large businesses compared to 2010, a total increase of 23%.
Fantastic. And I think that brings us to the end of our FSB News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show. Again, it's gone really quickly, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Loads of things that we covered here. I just want to make you aware of what's coming up later on channelradio.co.uk today. At 5 o'clock, we have, in his stripy socks, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. with his showbiz celebrity music show. It's a Craig Avery show, 5 o'clock. Yes, go on, Phil.
Romney Marsh's answer to Oliver Reed.
Exactly. Yeah. To Oliver Reed, really?
Yeah.
Mm. No. I realise what you were talking about. I just don't have Craig in the same kind of macho-ness. If I'm honest.
Well, it's obvious I live in a very strange world, Paul.
Yeah. Anyway, 5 o'clock, 5 till 7 is the Craig Avery show. The man with the stripy socks, the lady's favourite.
So he said.
Yeah. And that is followed immediately at 7 by...
Welcome on to the new potato show.
Mr. Jamie Andrews with 18 tracks of unsigned new and up-and-coming music on the New Potato Show. That's from 7 till 9. And that is followed by...
My favourite show that I still haven't listened to.
Well, I'll tell you what. Introduce it then, Jo.
I can't remember what it's called. I just know it's about 1967.
It's a comedy show.
Really
it's
funny.
Called. Yeah. It's called I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet.
That was it.
Lord and it Kitchener's focuses Valet, on the right. comedic value of 1967. Every week.
I stop. Right, I am going to add it to my to-do list because I really need to know.
Is that for real?
It's for real.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's a music. They play the music from 67. Yeah, so 60s yeah. music with a bit of humour thrown in.
Okay.
But it's the same year every week, 1967.
Sounds remarkable.
Hilarious year.
Mm. Huh? Very committed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I remember 67 and I don't remember it being particularly funny. It was a year after we won the World Cup, yeah?
Will you make my dream come true, please, given what you're doing this evening? Can I do a factoid?
Yeah, go.
A human head weighs 8 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
A human head?
Mm. Wow, where does that
8 pounds.
From?
that's from Jerry Maguire.
Oh, right, okay. Ah.
Well, I've got a joke from Chris.
Thanks,
what creeps around the place where they make coins? A mint spy.
Oh,
see, it wasn't the one I was thinking of, but that's even better. I'll add that into the Dodds Family Christmas.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
I think we'll stick with goodness. I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet at 9 till 10 o'clock with 1967. And then we round off this evening on Channel Radio, as we always do, with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, as always, on a Tuesday night, we round off Tuesday with the wonderful Mr. Boy George and his Club Culture show from 10 till 11 o'clock. But that, sadly, that's it for another week. I just need to say a huge thank you to my co-host, the famous Joe Dodds.
Hey.
A huge round of applause went up
there. I
didn't
know I was expecting then.
Yeah.
I took my lead from Paul, obviously. Yeah, exactly.
And a massive, massive thank you to our guests on today's show, Lisa Settle, with an epic bike ride for cancer charities from Vietnam to Cambodia.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And director of Telcare Limited, the telecommunications company from over there on the Midway City Estates. Mr. Phil Houston, Paws, Claws and More, the new darling of the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you very much. With his pet-related
services.
Yes, well, happy to be here and thank you once again,
we
Paul.
Absolute pleasure. And it was absolutely fantastic and fabulous to hear from the gorgeous Audrey Chapman,
with her
fantastic book and selling.
Have we turned into Steve Wright in the afternoon or something? Got factoids clapping and everything.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous. Loving your little show, Paul. Yeah.
I'll be the old woman.
Hello. Only me.
Yeah. Audrey is from the Sales Resolution Company, and I do highly recommend that you read her book. And we are going to have Audrey back early in the new year to carry on the discussion that we had on the fascinating topic of improving our sales techniques and abilities here
in the UK.
So thank you, Audrey. Of course, I was ably assisted by our chief camera technician, the absolutely delightful and lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, lovingly known by all of us as Bird. So thank you for her. Do listen to Bird's show tomorrow, The Conversation, 1 o'clock on channelradio.co.uk. And her guest tomorrow is the lovely Amanda Flanders. I can't help myself. I just can't help myself. I'm sorry, Amanda. It's Amanda Flanders. I know that. It is Amanda Flanders. Sorry. And so do tune in at 1 o'clock on Wednesday to that. But we'll be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.